More of Lake Effect Now, I'm Joy Powers. Whether you're participating in Dry January or drinking alcohol, tonics and other mixers can be a great way to satisfy your palate. Top Note Tonic has been supplying Milwaukeeans with their artisanal mixers since 2014, and they recently expanded their operation into Octopi Brewing Company in Wanakee. Mary Pelletieri is the co-founder of Top Note Tonic, and a lot has changed in the world of beverages since she was last on Lake Effect in 2016. Pelletieri recently joined Audrey Nowakowski in studio to discuss new drinking trends, and she begins by explaining some basic information about tonics.
Well, the word tonic is being used more for other types of beverages, but the original term came from kind of an herbal concoction that was good for the body. It toned the body, so to speak, so it was good for digestion. From that, tonic water eventually was created, but it was originally an herbal medicine that was used during World War I to help prevent malaria from taking effect on the soldiers, and the English liked it better with some sparkling water and some gin. So tonic water took off. Of course, that herbal medicine was quinine, which is the bitter that we now know is kind of the tonic water flavor. But that bitter was considered good for digestion originally, too. And then, of course, there's other bitters that can be used in beverages these days. And we know those as bitters, and they're old-fashioned. But those same things are, you know, also can be used to be a tonic. They used to walk into a bar, I guess, pre-Prohibition and probably during Prohibition and ask for a sarsaparilla soda tonic, and they'd actually add bitters to it. So it was considered something good for digestion originally. Now we have tonic water, but with kind of the advent of craft cocktailing.
Yeah, it's kind of its own category now, right?
You've seen more tonic waters come to the stores, and that's actually out of a European market. We see a lot of those, but you know, we're here in Milwaukee, and we've been innovating really since 2016 on craft cocktail syrups, tonic syrups, and now we're in sparkling version with our tonic water and two other mixers. We have a ginger beer and a grapefruit soda here too. So
now, and your personal background was in craft brewing, and you've kind of transitioned that over to the world of craft cocktails. For you, how does this feed your creativity when it comes to helping to create new drinks that craft beer either didn't offer you, or you just found a different way to use what you'd learned in the craft brewery world to here?
Yeah, I actually wanted to get out of beer and get more into the non-alcoholic space. I did think adult soft drinks as a category just hadn't been really looked upon. The whole mixer category is really an adult soft drink space. And you can mix, obviously, these with or without alcohol. A lot of people drink tonic on its own, believe it or not. And actually, if you go to Europe, you'll see that people are drinking tonic as a soft drink at lunch. So I saw it as an opportunity to use some of my knowledge from beer in terms of bitter flavor and versatility, as well as just having an ability to make a beverage that's well balanced and go into a space that hasn't seen innovation in probably 60 years, actually, since tonic water first came out commercially. No one's really innovated around the whole mixer category, but it's happening now. So, and we're just one of many brands, I think, out there. Of course, we're a local brand, a Midwest-based, and have a little bit of different roots going with us. So we feel like we make a highly competitive but also quite tasty product.
As you mentioned, there is the rise of alcohol-free drinks, and even the rise of dry bars are becoming more popular. So have you found that this just naturally fits into what you were aiming for from the beginning, or have you altered the way you're thinking of your flavors to appeal to people who are perhaps, even if they do drink alcohol, are leaning towards maybe just not drinking as regularly?
Yeah, or drinking less, right? There's a movement for low proof as well. But no proof, low proof cocktailing is only getting started. I like to look at it as just a different way of imbibing. Where craft beer went was into low proof craft beers. They were really high proof originally, and then they kind of slowly tapered down the alcohol, and I still see that happening. Now we're even seeing no proof craft beers come out, so no alcohol craft beers. That's only happening in the cocktail space too, and mixers play a massive role in that, so we're really happy to be in this category at this time, because it does allow us to start to kind of consider the category differently. And yeah, we think more adult-like in our flavor profiles. So what would an adult like to drink? What would taste good with or without alcohol? Or what tastes good with, you know, maybe even just some juicing? You can put a celery press or, you know, a cucumber in our ginger beer and it tastes great. You know, so what's great with or without alcohol? And if the beverage base, the mixer, is actually well balanced, it will stand up to just about anything.
One trend I wanted to pick your brain about is the explosion of hard seltzers past year. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, everyone's talking about it. And hard seltzer is really just a trend upon a trend upon a trend. I mean, it started with Bartles and James and wine coolers years ago, if anyone remembers those. And frankly, wine coolers are just coming around again as wine cocktails ready to drink. But yeah, it's a trend that the beer industry always sees. Probably about every 5 years, there's a whole new trend of these alcopops. The difference here is, and I've told a lot of people my thoughts, if you looked at the diet soda category, we had sparkling ice take off, and that was an actually diet soda with flavor. And a lot of people thought, what happened to Diet Coke? Well, and then Diet Coke came out with flavors and kind of retook the category, and sparkling ice has died back a bit, not as popular as it used to be. I think the same thing will happen with light beer and this sparkling category that is essentially light beer. It's actually fermented cane sugar. I remind people of that every day. It's still made in breweries. And just because of a strange labeling law, they actually have to put the nutritional facts on it. So it's still beer.
Yeah.
It's just made with sugar
and
some flavor.
Some people look at the can and say, you know, brewed beverage. It's like, well, what?
You know? I'm sure at some point the TTB and the FDA are going to get together on this and start creating some different labeling requirements. But it's exploding. I mean, I see craft brewers wanting to get into it. It's because cocktails are so popular. So I see it as a good thing for us. I think it does hurt the light beer industry more than anything. A lot of people are trading to those brands and those types of beverages versus light beer. But cocktails are still very popular. 43% of the liquor aisle right now is premium. And that part of the liquor category continues to grow because people are just simply trading up. They might be drinking less, but they're trading up for it. And that means they're going to make a better cocktail. And people have many times told us, I thought I didn't like gin, but it turns out I didn't like the tonic.
There we go. Yeah. And that is an interesting re-education for people, right? Because typically they're thinking, here's this clear, bland tasting carbonated thing that I'm going to mix with something that I'd enjoy.
You right, know?
And
right.
You're flipping the table a little bit.
Right. People think tonic water doesn't have calories. It does have calories. You should watch the calories. You should watch the sugar. You should look at the ingredients it's made with. The commoditized soft drinks that people find in the mixer aisle. By the way, only 5% of the mixers in this country are considered premium. So we've got a massive gap to fill to what people are actually buying in the spirits line. But the commoditized soft drinks that people are buying are just, they're not worth the cost of the liquor that you're mixing it with. So I always try to encourage folks to actually look at the ingredients labels of what they're buying.
Well, you were kind enough to bring in some top note products and recipes for mixers. So how about we get into
that? Sure. Yeah, I'm going to do just three really simple cocktails. Something Top Note is really all about is we say create your own clever, right? So create your own cocktail because everyone can be clever in cocktailing. You don't have to be a mixologist to make a great cocktail. You just need great ingredients. And I'm going to start with our classic tonic since we've talked a lot about tonic. I'm going to make you a simple gin and tonic. I've got Rayhorse Gin here, which is a very nice gin made right here in Milwaukee. I highly recommend people keep this as kind of their standard gin on their bar. And I'm just going to mix 1.5 ounces of the gin and the rest tonic water, and you will see how good it tastes.
Cool.
As some people really like the taste of the lime on top of the tonic. If you're looking at a lower proof cocktail, Highball is it. It's not going to just wow you with alcohol. It's going to be something that you can kind of consume, maybe pre-meal. It's a nice thing to make when you're making dinner, I think, if you have guests around. It's very simple, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
But yet, here you are, a pro. You made a great tasty cocktail, which she's just slugging down, I have to
you
admit.
You know, you can talk, I'll drink.
The challenge with a really good highball is we used to call it in the industry Moorish. You want more of it too quickly.
Right.
Some people call it, you know, these a little too good, but that's okay. I think, you know,
well,
all in.
I'm feeling like I'm tasting more of the tonic aftertaste.
Yeah. Okay, so this next one, we're going to use the Twisted Path rum. I love this rum, and Brian Sammons, who's a phenomenal distiller, he's all organic, grain to glass. He's been in our same building as the Lincoln Warehouse as we have been ever since we started. So when we found out a distillery was downstairs, we had to kind of take up residence there. Yeah, and they've long, you know, supported us. So we like to pour with Twisted Path, and he's just done some rebranding. He's got some beautiful bottles out there now. But his rum, his barrel-aged rum, has always been one of my favorites. Just a beautiful rum. Nice color. And then, of course, it goes well with the ginger beer, which is a dark and stormy, classically made. And I'm going to just put a little bit of the Bitter Cube orange bitters on top, which is a little not classic, but it might kind of create a bit of more of an enhanced cocktail for you here.
I admit, I don't tend to do ginger beer things, so I'm curious to try it.
Okay. Well, dark and stormy, I think, is great with our ginger beer specifically. Because it's got date sugar in it, it's dark, and it kind of brings out that barrel of...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is good. Like, usually ginger beer for me is too bitey, too... Uh-huh. You know, spicy is not the right word, but it
is
overwhelms.
The right word. Actually,
yeah, yeah.
It is spicy. Yeah. Ginger spicy, and ginger beers can be too spicy. They actually have too much heat in them, right?
It's yeah, too much where you can't concentrate on enjoying and drinking it because it feels like... a bit of a chore to keep going, you know. Yeah.
By the way, orange bitters, you know, all in these are, this is providing you not necessarily bitter, but it's providing you some orange
some flavor.
Aroma,
yeah,
and top notes. So I think
that made
all
a great
in,
difference. Yeah,
yeah,
I really like that.
So you can make a dark and stormy. I think if it had a slice of orange, you'd mm-hmm. see how even better it would be. But this is fun. These are simple, again, just clever little twists on standards, and with a great mixer, anyone can really do this. The last one I'm going to leave you with is kind of has become a favorite of our one of our brands that we do a lot with is Koval Spirits, and they're out of Chicago, female-owned company, and I love doing stuff with them because they really embrace the highball. They understand that consumers really do want something simple to make at home, but they buy a nice bottle of Koval, they're actually going to want a really nice cocktail, so why not buy a slightly more expensive grapefruit soda to mix it with. So I'm actually going to do Koval Rye with Top Note Tonic Grapefruit Soda. Very simple. So this is a rye.
Yeah, all of these are just the two ingredients, in exception with the bitters, the orange bitters. Yeah.
Yeah, this is almost a rye sour. So we like to say our grapefruit can be used as a sour. So if people are making old fashions, they can use this as a sour. But I will share this one with you. So when a distillery comes to you and says, we love using your product, you got to believe them. And they use this as kind of a standard to show off their rye. So rye is usually peppery, and it just happens to go really nicely with grapefruit.
That is really good. Isn't the whiskey blends almost seamlessly where you don't...
Yeah.
have that whiskey forwardness. It's all just kind of one refreshing grapefruit note.
It's a great way of kind of showing off whiskey or even a dark spirit. It almost tastes like a rye sour. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, all of these are super delicious and simple
for
us who maybe don't have a ton of experience making cocktails at home. But Mary, I want to thank you so much for coming in and sharing these with us.
Thank you. I appreciate you guys taking the time to taste these. It's fun being in this industry, and it's really fun sharing how simple this can be.
Mary Pelletieri is the co-founder of Top Note Tonic. She joined Lake Effect's Audrey Nowakowski in the studio, and you can find more information and recipes of the drinks she made in this segment at WUWM.com.